chapter 3 this afternoon. Genesis chapter 3. You know, it's an amazing thing when you look at... give me just a second here. I've got to do something real quick. I need to look up a verse real quick. Give me just a second and I'll be right with you. All right. But when you look at this passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 3, of course, we know this is about the fall of man. This is about the work of the devil to try to destroy God's creation. This is also about the redemption that God did when he promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And of course, Jesus being born of a virgin is indeed the seed of the woman. He came to be our Redeemer and our Savior. But I noticed something as I was reading this. We could go through the whole thing. I think you all know what happened there. Eve rather became careless with the Word of God, and when she was challenged by the serpent, or by the devil, if you want to say that, as it actually is, but she was challenged by that, and he denied the Word of God, and she was careless with the Word of God. She was, you know, God said, "Thou shalt surely die," and she said, "Lest ye die." All right. So there's a degree of doubt and uncertainty already entered in there by that carelessness with not listening to God's word as to what it was. And then finally the serpent just boldly came out and denied God, "Thou shalt not surely die," right? And so she ate and then gave to her husband, and he did eat. And through Adam's sin, not Eve's, but through Adam's sin, sin passed upon all men. Because like begets like, and the nature is passed by the Father. We could go down to all the medical things to support that if we wanted to. But the bottom line was that there was a curse placed upon the man, upon the woman, and upon the serpent. However, for the man and the woman, there was redemption promised, that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We know that. But there's another thing that happens there in this passage of Scripture. And it says in verse 22, Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Now, the world in that time was much different than it is today. But the simple fact is that this is pre-flood, and man was driven away from a place on this earth where God had planted a tree of life, and he took him out of that. And the thing was, man had died spiritually, and the proposition and the beginning of the deterioration and death of the body, the physical death that we know, had just begun. And God said, "We're not going to let man continue in that form. He's going to know death in all its aspects, lest he put forth his hand and eat of the tree of life." All right, and live. So that tree was there for a reason. That tree was there for man to partake of. But when man fell, he was banished from the garden. And then you go over to the book of Revelation, and we see in the new heavens and the new earth, what do we see there? We see the tree of life again, don't we? And I don't think anybody would argue with the fact that that's a long time from the Garden of Eden to eternity. I mean, if the Lord came today, if we follow the chronology of Scripture exact, we would still have 1,007 years before we got to the point of the tree of life. And I'm not going to keep you very long this afternoon, but I was thinking on that, and it's kind of always amazed me. But then I started thinking about that, and God said some other things about this tree of life that I don't think, you know, it's kind of an amazing thing, and I don't think we think about these things the way we should sometimes. But we know that God took away access to the tree of life, and we know the Bible tells us that God will one day bring and reinstitute that tree of life. But in the meantime, what? And I began to study that, and I just saw something that I thought was really amazing. If you go to the book of Proverbs, if you would, go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And Proverbs chapter 3, and he begins to talk about wisdom. Verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things which thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. When it's talking about wisdom being a tree of life, it's not talking about the wisdom of this world, which is foolishness of God, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians. In the book of James, it tells us that it says this. It says, but the wisdom, James chapter 3, verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So God, even though the actual tree of life is gone, He gives us wisdom as a tree of life. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, which is driven and tossed and all that. But the point is, if we come to God seeking genuine wisdom, that wisdom is a tree of life. It leads us in the right way. It leads us to reconciliation with God. So wisdom is a tree of life. If you go to Proverbs 13, verse 12, it's a tree of life, not the tree of life, by the way. She is a tree of life. And if you go to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12, it says this, it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Now what does that mean? Well, it's talking about the attitude in the heart of people. You know, when people lose hope, by the way, you can see it in our culture now by the skyrocketing suicide rate. When people lose their hope. It causes death. It makes their hearts sick. People get so depressed and so I understand there are medical conditions, but the cure for depression is not a pill. The cure for depression is hope, genuine hope. And that's what God says. But it says, when the desire cometh, when the hoped for thing cometh, then it's a tree of life. Makes life worth living, if you will. Makes people stay the course. So wisdom is a tree of life. And and having hope is a tree of life, especially when that hope is realized. It's a tree of life. Then you turn over to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And it says this. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. How many of you not been hurt by people saying wicked things or unkind things? How many of you been uplifted by people who spoke wholesomely? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. There's a lot of people, I talked about people being in depression and suicides and all that type of stuff. And I've known a lot of people that were in that state, and they found somebody that cared enough about them to speak to them and didn't treat them like dirt and actually cared about them and said good and decent things and kind things. And it made a difference in their life. How we speak can be a tree of life to somebody. Now, ultimately, partaking of the tree of life is the goal, right? But while we're walking on this earth, we can get a point where we, the wisdom of God is a tree of life. Having hope is a tree of life, and a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And that brings me down to the last point. I want you to turn back to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. In Proverbs chapter 11, in verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Now, when we talk about that, when we look at that, the Bible says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. In other words, those that are righteous through faith in Christ, your fruit is a tree of life. And then he says, he that winneth souls is wise. You know, we talked about this morning in the morning preaching, we talked about why there is a hell. Why is there a hell? And you can't deny, if you believe the Bible, you have to believe that there is a hell. And we dealt with the questions of why, and we talked about our responsibilities, and we talked about how we need to believe that this place exists because people will go there. But here it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We talk about being a soul winner, being a witness for Christ. Why? Because that act in itself is a tree of life for people. It is a tree of life. It is a bridge, if you will, an enabler for other people to hear the wisdom of God and to hear a wholesome... What's more wholesome than sharing the gospel? What's more wholesome than telling somebody that God loved them so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die in their place, to bear their sins, to shed His blood, to rise from the dead, to offer salvation, eternal life as a gift? What's more wholesome than that? I mean, speaking good and decent and honest and true things is always a blessing to people. But there's none greater than telling them what great things God did for you and what He wants to do for them. It's no greater. It's a tree of life. This world is aware that they've been cut off from the tree of life. They understand that because just look at the animosity of the people who say they don't believe in God, but they're so angry about God. I mean, you'd think they, whenever the gospel is preached or people stand up to talk about God, the vast majority of them, you'd think if they were all comfortable and they didn't have any animosity, they'd say, oh, bless their heart. But they don't do that, do they? They show real animosity against anything having to do with God. They get up there, the news media will tear you to shreds. They'll lie on you. They'll tell. I mean, I've talked to many people, but the world's acutely aware that they've been cut off from the tree of life. It's almost instinctual now, and yet we're the bridge back. As a matter of fact, you go into the book of John. If you'll turn over there with me, let me find the passage of scripture I want to look at. But if you'll go in the book of John, and let's see. He said this, he said, in John chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. If you go down, and we'll skip forward a few to verse 16, he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, He may give it you. And there are many other passages of Scripture that talks about us bringing forth fruit. But you know, the thing about this is, He's not talking about, we've been spending all primary services, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? But he's not talking about the fruit of the Spirit, he's talking about the fruit of the Christian. And the fruit of the Christian is other Christians. It's people getting saved. Because our job here is to be witnesses, is it not? That's the purpose we're here. I'm not here to get myself good enough to go to heaven. I couldn't do that before I got saved. How am I going to do it after I got saved? No, when I get to heaven, it's going to be because Jesus shed His blood for me. That's the only thing that's going to get me to heaven, is my faith in Him. And the fruit of the Spirit is what the Holy Spirit brings out in me. It is those attributes of God's nature that are manifest in the life of a believer when we learn to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be led of the Spirit, however you want to term it. But that is what it is. We get a point where we learn to hear and understand when the Spirit of God is speaking to our hearts and we say yes to God. And God brings forth that fruit, but that's the fruit of the Spirit, not our fruit. Now that will help us to be fruitful, and we cannot be fruitful without it because we have to abide in Him. And we do that through the Spirit of God that indwells us. But our job is to be witnesses here. And the fruit that we bear is not the fruit of the Spirit. It is. That's the sap of the vine, if you will. That's our connection to our Lord, abiding in Him. We abide in Him through the Spirit and through the Word of God and allow His words to abide in us. But we bring forth fruit. And I can spend a long time talking about a lot of things, but that's the fruit. And so while the tree of life is set away from this world today, if you're a believer here today, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, your fruit is a tree of life. Because you're offering that, that's your witness for Christ. The way you live, the life you live, living a good, godly, pure life, having the boldness and the willingness to tell other people about Jesus. Sacrificing so people can hear the gospel. We could go down the list of the things that we. That's why we support missionaries, right? So other people can go in other places and hear. We can expand our reach. The problem is, we have a tendency to do one or the other instead of all of the above. We don't listen to what the Scripture says. But the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. So we see four things there. We see wisdom. We see hope. We see a wholesome tongue. And we see the fruit of the righteous. All those four things that are mentioned there, they are a tree of life. There are means by which people can come to know the truth. There are means by which people will have access, if they heed it, can have access to the tree of life. That which was denied man. And you might say, preacher, do you believe all that's literal? Absolutely I do. It's not a figurative thing, it's a real thing. And I don't profess to know everything about it. God doesn't tell us a whole lot about it. In Revelation, we read that it has 12 manner of fruits. And we also read that the leaves are for the healing of the nations. I'm not 100% sure what all that means in that regard. But the simple fact is, and the truth of that is, whatever it says about that tree of life that we've been denied access to since the fall of man. And yet God, in His mercy, has given us things that He's given us His wisdom. He's given us hope. I mean, look at how all this functions toward the gospel. If you go to the book of 1 Peter, and you look, let me get there real quick. 1 Peter, excuse me, yeah, 1 Peter chapter 1, Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which verse 3 is where I'm at. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which has begotten, which according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inherit its incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He's given us hope in the gospel. He's given us His wisdom. He's given us wholesome words, a wholesome tongue. And He's given the world a bunch of people who are saved by the grace of God, who have the ability to go out and do what's necessary to replicate. And sometimes we get so discouraged about trying to win souls or trying to be witnesses or trying to share the gospel with people, so we just quit because we don't see results. But we forget the Bible says one sows, another waters, but God gives the increase, right? Our job isn't to be the one that gives the increase. Our job is to be a tree of life, to win souls, to try our best to do that. And I know it may seem like people are hard and everything like that, and I get it, I understand it. I see what's happening in the world. I understand. And I know how hard the hearts of people in America are, but I just looked while we were at our fellowship time and everything, I looked over and saw a post from Brother Matichera over in Zambia, and he's sitting there with a packed house. Hallelujah. I don't know what God's going to do here. I just know what we're supposed to do. It's amazing to me. God sits there and He tells us in no uncertain terms, He put a cherubim with a flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life, to prevent fallen man from partaking of that, and circumventing the death sentence, if you will. The physical death sentence. Couldn't do anything about it. There's no way man could do anything about the spiritual death sentence. Because we're all spirit. We're born spiritually dead, aren't we? But God says one day, I'm going to give you access. Those that believe, those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, I'm going to give you access back to the tree of life. But in the meantime, here's four things that are not the tree of life, but are a tree of life that can help folks to that. We can be soul winners. We can share the wisdom of God. We can share the hope of the gospel. We can have a wholesome tongue. You know, a lot of times I talk to people, and if there's anything that people are good at doing, we're good at complaining, aren't we? Now, the Bible says we're not supposed to be murmurers or complainers. But I understand, and I hear people all the time, you know, I talk to people out on the street, I talk to people in the grocery store, talk to people at work, talk to people in my family, and invariably there's people that are going to sit there and complain about everything the government is doing now. And I understand. But you know what we do in this nation is we sit there and complain about the government, and we don't even take the time to write a letter to the people that are doing the things, do we? We express our displeasure to everybody we meet, right? And never write a letter to the senator or to the president or to the congressman or to the judge or to whoever, to the governor, to the mayor. We don't write letters. We don't do that. We just sit around and bellyache and grumble about it. And all the people we're talking to, they can't do anything about it except get mad like we are, right? I wonder if every time somebody got upset with the government, they sat down and wrote out a letter and boom, slapped a stamp on it or clicked send or whatever the case may be and said, hey, you keep this up, I won't be voting for you again. I'm going to do everything I can to get you out of office because what you're doing is wrong. I wonder if everybody that complained did that. I wonder if it'd make a difference. I bet it would. Right? We're good at doing that. We get the same way when it comes to just looking at the lost. We've got that same default. We see people that are, we see the wickedness of man around us, and we see all the things that are going on. And we talk about it to everybody. We talk about, oh me, oh my, look at what's happened to this world and everything like that. And then we don't tell anybody about Jesus at all. Somehow we get this idea. You know, we get this idea that somehow, kind of like when we're complaining about the politicians or the government or something like that. Well, there's no sense in writing them. It ain't going to do any good. So I just make myself feel better by talking about it. Telling people about it. Make sure everybody knows I think it's wrong. And that does absolutely zero. But we get this idea that's not any use. Maybe that's what we get when it comes to being a witness for Christ. We get ourselves to a point where we just simply say, you know, it ain't much sense in me doing it. I'm just going to fuss about the people that are doing wrong. And then we wonder why self-righteousness creeps up into the churches, church house. Don't we? The fact is, we just quit doing what we're supposed to do. We quit being a tree of life. Now God says these things are a tree of life. Wisdom. Hope. A wholesome tongue. And the fruit of the righteous. They're a tree of life. They're not going to come from the world. They only come from people that know these things. We got to get to the point where we just stop fussing about everything the world's doing wrong, just start telling people about Jesus the way we're supposed to. We're a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. You know, the people that told me about Jesus and the people that prayed for my soul, they couldn't get me to heaven any way possible. They couldn't get me to the tree of life, but they got me a tree of life. They gave me a tree of life. The Apostle Paul said that he could wish himself a curse for Christ for his brethren, the Jews. He said, if I could die and go to hell in their stead, I would. And he wasn't joking either. He said, I lie not. I speak the truth of Christ. I lie not. And he called the Holy Spirit as a witness. He said, if I could wish myself a curse for Christ, from Christ, for my brother. He said, if me losing my salvation could save them, I'd do it in a heartbeat. That just shows the love of God in him, doesn't it? You and I, we can't get anybody to heaven, but we sure can get give them a tree of life. We can be what we're supposed to be. We can show them the wisdom of God. We can have a wholesome tongue. We can give them hope. And we can bear fruit. We can be soul winners. We can be wise ourselves. The world will never be converted by complainers and murmurs. It's only going to be converted by witnesses. Nobody's going to get saved because you're aggravated. They'll get saved when we get past our aggravation and start caring for the souls of men and start believing what God said. That's what makes a difference. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close service today. Father, thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. I just pray you'd bless each one with understanding. Lord, we need to be witnesses for Christ. We need not to just live right, but speak right. We need to share the gospel with everybody we can. We need to be willing to trust the work of the Spirit of God and just do our part. And Lord, we know that we can't save anybody, but we can sow and we can water. And Lord, we know it's you that gives the increase. So Lord, help us to just realize that these actions, which may seem insignificant to us and others and to the world, these actions have eternal value. They can make a difference. Lord, help us, we pray, to bear that fruit, which is a tree of life, to be soul winners. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.